volunteer, and I'm going to do this interactively because that's the way that I think we sell. I look to body language. I listen to the words that are said, but I look for people's opportunity to get involved with the conversation. Let me first ask, what is it that you do, if you don't mind? Yeah, if you don't want to answer a question, just say pass, okay? So we'll preserve the...
I'm a licensed sales associate for the Farm Bureau.
A licensed?
Sales associate.
Okay. All right, let me set it up this way. I'm at a Chamber of Commerce meeting. I've just met you, come up to you and say, what is it that you do? And is that the answer you'd give me?
I work for an insurance
company. Okay. Great yellow tie. Same thing. What is it that you do?
I work with a company that works with life insurance and investments.
Okay. On this side? Yes, I'm sorry. I'd be shaking your hand and then you'd be saying, what's he doing with his left hand? But
oh.
Yeah. Kevin. Kevin, what is it that you do?
I'm a certified financial planner. I get people to understand their finances and the various options that are available to them.
Okay. And Mark, what is it that you do?
I'm a genie.
I'm sorry?
I'm a genie. I help people fulfill promises that they make to themselves, their family, their businesses, their employees.
I'm a genie. I help people fulfill promises that they make to themselves and to their families. Yes? And what type of reaction do you get?
They want to know more.
They want to know more. First thing about a conversation, trying to enter into it, and I'll talk about that tomorrow, about elevator talk, but the first measure of a talk is I want to know more. I want to be in that conversation, okay? So the other folks here who have given an answer, does it lead to more conversations? Okay, so I flashed this by you this morning, and I was told what by Paul in the front row? What are these?
$1,000
bills. So it's money, right? What's the value of money? You all work with it all the time. The value of money. Purchasing power. What is the value of money? Okay, I've had a lot of fun with this because, talking to audiences, because we talk to people about it all the time, but how about this? The value of money is its availability in a time of need, okay, which begins to focus people. Now, I'm not giving you any CE credit, but I think this could be more valuable than any CE credit, that you can take one and pass it on. Okay, I'll save one for my friend John. But if it means anything, these are not real dollars. They came from a packet from the Philippines. You can't reach me at this number anymore, but I had all these printed up, so I'm happy to. But just as a reminder, it's something to start a conversation if you're going to talk about money. And availability in a time of need. And Mark got closest to it because he's talking about, I'm a genie. Availability in a time of need. Well, if promises were made, that's one of the things that we're talking about. Okay, so financial listening, I'm trying to hear. As I said this morning, I was a producer for 12 years, 64 to 76. 76 became a general agent in partnership for 20 years. But still produced. The company didn't like that, but I was Mr. Outside. I liked to work with the clients. And in the last 5 years, solo GA. And then I'm out on the street again, turn it over to another agent who reneged on some promises. So I find myself with space on the card to say, what is it that I am? And I just come through this school of spirituality with the idea of being a spiritual or a companion a spiritual, holy listener. And I said, gee, what I do, holy, W-H-O-L-L-Y, is what I've been doing for years with people. So what about financial listener? Now, I took it to the equity desk, and what the equity desk said is you can't use that. Okay? How many people have done anything creative with what they call themselves? Okay, and you call yourself?
I'm a bank robber.
Bank. Is that on your business card?
No.
No, okay. Who has done something creative that's on their business card? Nobody. Okay. Well, yes, sir. Okay, and that's wonderful at airports, probably. But, okay, so yes, we're looking to be outside the box, but how do you be outside the box when Big Brother's looking at you? So it's worth fighting for if you've got something. What I did with Financial Listener, when they said, no, you can't have that, I said, why not? And there was silence. And I said, it seems only fair to me that you explain why you're negative on this. And finally they said, it's not on our list. And that, you've dealt with that type of thinking, I guess, okay? Not on our list. I said, well, that's okay, because I was a Series 1. I got licensed in equities in 65. So it was before they had a 6 or a 7. It was before they had a list. And I said, so... I understand it's not on your list, but okay. So I looked at their list. I said, but most of the names on your list are what? Financial advisor, financial guide, financial consultant. I said, half of the titles you have on your list have the word financial. So you're having a problem with the word listener, or the conjunction of financial and listener. Am I right? What did I hear? Silence, exactly. No answer. I said, okay, let me ask you a question. John, who was it? No, it was from Oregon. What's his name? Who is it?
Dan Corrigan.
No, it's Roger Zehner. Ever have a problem? Ask a question. So I asked the question. I had a problem. They were saying no. So I asked the question, how many people have you been sued? Because that's your concern. You're trying to protect the company. How many times have you been sued because somebody accused the representative of listening? What did I hear again? Silence. We'll get back to you. And that was it. And that's happened with two different companies. In each case, I got it. It took 2 or 3 months. And because I felt it was a deal breaker. I like it because I get people who, when they look at it on the card, they chuckle. Okay? Your genie's a good one, but I'll give you my card and you can let me know when you get that through compliance. Okay, so financial listening, what am I listening for? Well, I try to ask questions, okay? Tell me about, what are some of the good questions that you do, the open-ended questions, the broad concept questions? What are some questions that you use that are very effective for you when you meet somebody for the first time? Any? Share, please.
Tell me about your concerns.
Tell me about your concerns, okay.
Can we use our time together best?
All right. How much time do we have and how can we use that best?
Tell me about some of your hopes and dreams.
Good, okay. Do you do walking around, especially if you're working with businesses? Or people who have developed something of significance, don't they like to talk about and tell you about briefly, as long as they know you're not going to waste their time? And you listen, okay? And I just have found that I have a way of invented a demonstration, which I call Laws of Money. Now, Roy and I were talking, and he said, you're going to use the whiteboard. What did you call? You didn't say it's low-tech, but it is.
Old-fashioned,
old school. Okay. How many people in the room do not have a cell phone? That's a different story. Hey, I'm the only one. That's unique, okay? You may want to leave now when you find out how low-tech I am. That means I probably don't have a BlackBerry, right? Okay. I take all calls when I'm in the office. I take all calls when I'm at home. I'm a salesman. I've been a salesman, professional, consultative, but I'm pleased, and I want to listen to other salespeople, but I need downtime. I need quiet time. I need time to think, to discern, to reflect, and to be in shape. So I haven't done that yet. Now, I have lots of people. Mary Lou brought the cell phone today, right? Have you had a call, dear? No, no calls. We're kind of lucky. If you keep it kind of low-key, you may find you don't get calls. And I don't think among good insurance people, I think you ought to, if you got a phone, you ought to keep it, obviously, because you've gotten people in the habit, the expectation. But I haven't done that. And I have not found a compelling reason yet of being broken down 50 miles from nowhere, as long as there's a cell tower. That might be a compelling reason for me to change my mind. But it hasn't yet for business, because we're doing that. I scared a gentleman away. So let me show you what the low-tech way of doing things is. I'm a kind of high-touch, and yet in the mid-70s, I was part of a panel, a research panel for the Roundtable, which did the we did a version of what the office of the future would look like, because I had a partner at that time who was very high-tech, and Bob Liss, Stan Liss's son, and I, we put on the Christmas Carol, recharacterized Scrooge and Marley insurance brokers, and it was a hoot. But all right, who would like to be someone who's come into the office, say meeting me for the first time, and let me tell you about the work we do. Who'd like to be interactive? In this, there are no, I can do it with the whole audience if there are no volunteers. So we'll do it this way. Okay. Laws of money. This is not copyrighted. Use your deal. Use your own judgment whether it works for you or not. I'm about to present to you Lee's Laws of Money. Now, if my name is Homer, I'm probably going to say, if this is any good, I'm probably going to say, nobody knows Lee. No, it's Homer's Laws of Money. Okay, because people like to know that you've done something that's different and they haven't heard it before. So let me ask a question. What are the two regular and dependable sources of income?
People at work.
People at work.
Money at work.
Money at work. If we have time, I'll go into the 8 or 9 other exceptions I get, which I call the dysfunctional family of income. So it might be things like Social Security, finding buried treasure, winning at gambling, but you got to buy a lottery ticket. There are a whole bunch of things. Getting money from mom. Anyway, but it's a whole family. But basically here, we're going to talk about 3 laws. And what I'm going to do, I do not get paid but somehow people seem to understand it. So let me ask, your name is?
Paul,
would you try to identify for me what these characters represent?
The stick figures, people, every man.
Person times person, working person.
X equals times, T equals money,
Time. Time equals, and if I told you that Paul Samuelson, who was a Nobel Prize winning economist and sold a lot of textbooks, he said there are 2 things and only 2 things you can do with money, you would tell me they each begin with S. Now Mark said, spend it and save it, and my friend here said, save it and spend it. Are they the same thing? What's different? What's different? Attitude, priorities, timing. So would you believe that the only time I get save it and spend it is when I'm talking to an insurance group? Pretty much? Okay. So what I normally get is spend it and save it. So, Mark, Genie Man, I'm going to continue this. So if you spend it, Mark, first, and save it second, how much do you save?
Naturally, less than 2%.
Nothing, the extra, less than nothing. Those are the types of answers you honestly get from people, okay? Pardon me? Because they don't, right. Okay, now I say, however, if you were to save that percentage, Mark, necessary to meet your important goals, your priorities, not mine, not your mom's, not anybody else's, but yours. If you were to save that percentage, and if you did that first and did the spending second, let me ask you, would that make a difference in your life? Okay. Would it make such a difference that you might not be able to do it?
No, I get used to spending what I have.
Okay, and the final question, would you need any help in spending that money? Because I'm available for that too. I've never had anybody volunteer to say they needed help spending money, okay? And what you guys are doing laughing is exactly what happens. It's very gentle. I saw a hand up, sir. That's what I'm asking. What the question I'm saying, in other words, for the person who's told me they spend first, and as they answer the question, spend and save. And so that says to me that's the way they operate, okay? So I say to them, you know, if instead you were to save first that percentage necessary to meet your priority goals, and then spend second, and I ask these three kind of dumb questions, but at least it isn't that somebody's telling me, oh, I can't spend, I don't have enough money. But in other words, people logically seem to understand that if they honored their priorities, if they honored their dreams and hopes, okay, first. But, you know, I'm a person standing with a magic marker. This is a whiteboard. When were you in this situation before in your life? In school. It's a student. You gave me this. Now, sometimes when I get somebody who thinks they know a lot more or just wants to express their point, I'll say to them, Paul, why don't I sit down and you go up there and do it, okay? And that really kind of quiets things down. Or they do it, and then we get at whatever the fundamental confusion or disagreement is. So it can be done in a way not to... In a nice conversational way, okay? So we got the first law down, okay? Now I need a volunteer who will do the second one. Hands up for someone who will answer the second one for me. The others? Okay, Roy's going to. Roy, I said that before I threw these in. Okay. Interest, income, right?
Equals mounds of money.
Thank you. Well, you know, out here we got these mountains, okay? So they're suggestive of what we're doing. So I can be a really poor artist and whatever. But now they're mountains or molehills, depending on what? How much, how long, how high equals whatever, right? Okay, someone on this side will do the third side, please, if you can see it. David, you're going to help me. Zach, is it?
Yeah.
Okay, Zach.
Mounds of money times interest equals happy person.
Yes, he's a happy person, and you told that, you could understand that because got a smile on his face, right? Wonderful. See, that's body language. Okay, we learned that this morning. Smile on his face, and he's smiling, or, by the way, I know Marilyn's going to be interested because what do I do with a woman, right?
Yep.
Okay, that's a transformation. That's my female character. That's all I'm trying to say. There's a skirt and there's more hair than those guys, okay? So, again, it's not artistry, it's just all suggestive, okay, of what? So I've got happy person, and Zach, it was Zach who answered, right?
Yeah.
And you're smiling, you're happy, because you are financially... Ah, there it is. I'd never heard free before, but young people bring up sound. Then I heard independent, and then I heard secure. Those are the three major answers. Okay? They came from three different people. If I'm always operating with a talk that assumes that everybody wants to be secure, I got a problem. Because I talked to John Homer. John wants nothing to do with security. He wants to show, whatever we're going to show has to come to independence. So I'm very careful in listening at that point to financially sound, that was Zach, independent. And you may come up with new ones, because until about 5 years ago, I never heard sound, but now I hear from younger people. Independent and secure. And the bulk of older folks who have work for other people, talk about security. I heard free, but he changed it. Okay. Now, free could be independent. Or, if I didn't know, could you tell me what you mean by free? Okay, but do you see, if I ask the question and I open up the area, people tell you what's really on their mind and how they feel about it, right? I think. That's what I observe. Then you can write it down. It's there. Okay, so let's see. Where do I go with this? Well, do you know that the first equation talks about capital creation. Okay, because the most important thing that happened here is what? Somebody decided, made an important decision in their life to change from spending and then to saving first and then spending. And they did it based on their own goals. Does that sound good to you? You know, I mean, we're talking about behavioral change with people, huh? Okay, the second equation is about capital accumulation. Okay, because what's going on here is the decision to put money over time at risk or not at risk, as the case may be, in order to grow, right? And then finally, the third, I call it capital conservation. Now, how many of you know what's going to happen to estate tax law?
Nobody.
There's one man who knows. Okay. Do you want to share with us, Ken, what's going to happen?
If you want to die, this is the year.
Oh, okay. So he's talking, he has a limited window, okay? Okay. Well, whatever happens, it's a change and we need the money. So I have another one. I have a fourth one called capital preservation. Do you understand that there might be a difference between conservation and preservation? What's the difference in your mind?
Loss of capital.
Okay, the person who is, all right, just follow me. Is anybody working in this one? Mm-hmm. Yeah, the person's working.
Yeah.
Anybody working in this one?
Yeah,
the money's working, but is the person still working?
Yeah.
Okay, because we're only talking about the money that's been saved. The person's still working. What's happening down here? The person has left the field of battle. Okay, now, when you leave the field of battle of trading a day for a dollar in Ben Feldman's terms, or 100, or 1,000, or more, okay, when you stop working, you call that a change of life? Is it a change of life for most of your customers, clients?
Yeah.
Okay? It's a profound change, I suggest to you. My son earns more money than I do. He's in another field. And he has just traded down from a more expensive house to a less expensive house because he sees things developing that he doesn't like. Can he afford the one he's in? Yeah. But he can't afford it with as much comfort, with the burden. So he's decided to do that. He and his wife, they each are in business. What I found interesting was that he made that adjustment so that he could continue to grow capital. Okay, he could have stayed where he was. But he said to me, this is New Canaan, Connecticut, where he was living. And he's moved to Southport or Westport, Connecticut. Some people would say, what's the diff? But the point is, there is a difference in the housing situation. And he said, I am not a trustafarian. Does that mean anything to anybody? It didn't to me. He was mixed. He is not, well, I haven't created a trust. I'm still alive for him to live off of. But in New Canaan, there were so many of his neighbors who were living off of trust income that had been created by other generations that they were kind of, they weren't living the same life he was. And I thought, well, that's interesting because that matches up with my observation that when people retire, especially guys, okay, guys who really, after a little bit of golf and some other couple things, they used to die. They still live. You know, life expectancy of men wasn't very good in the past in retirement. So you might as well keep working and mix your work, you know, retire gracefully. But the point I'm making here is no earned income. So how do you work with somebody who is going to no earned income and everything's fallen out in terms of markets, right? Isn't that the interesting thing about advising people today on money? You know, I need income. I need this. I need that. And my partners, who is our investment guru, he says that markets tend to move in the direction that will hurt the most number of people. Markets move in the direction where they will hurt the greatest number of people. So that's where we get herd mentality and why, whether it's housing or other areas, why people have really, really had it handed to them. Okay, that's an observation, the one about retirement. Now let me show you, let me do one other thing. I would get to a point in an interview where I've shown that and I said, does that make any sense to you? Does it make sense to you? Okay, because it's a lifetime journey. And whether I've talked to you here and you can see your kids over here or whatever, I can go off of this into almost anything. And what I often do, or what was interesting in the 90s, do you remember the 90s? What were markets doing? What were people at 401k accounts? Up. So what would happen is the next question I would ask is, tell me, which one of these equations in your own personal situation indicates where you have your largest values? And what do you think most people I would talk to would tell me? Okay. I've gotten answers one or two. Actually, what was happening was too many people were saying that they were hearing my biggest financial values are here, okay? And I had to, when somebody tells you that, I have to find a graceful way of saying you're wrong probably, okay? And how do you say that? And so what I came up with is this is certainly visual, right? It's delivered orally, so people are using two of their pathways of learning. But I always try to figure out how can I get something kinesthetic, okay? The next speaker will talk about body language again and whatever, but I said, okay. And Zach, I'm going to use you, okay? So Zach, you've told me that you think I mean, you really must be excited about your real estate values, your qualified plan values, whatever. Good. And remember, I'm not asking any questions specifically. Have I asked a specific fact-finding question as we're used to here? No. It's this very non-threatening way of going general with somebody, of building an environment of trust, confidence. Gee, I've never heard this before. All right, so I'd say, Zach, stand up so folks can see you, okay? All right, Zach, in your left hand, okay? Yeah, you're not going to be able to put it in your pocket. In your left hand, I want you to put this year's earnings, next year's earnings, and the earnings for every year after that that you think you're going to be employed, okay, until you retire, okay? Add it up, put in whatever factors you want, and then close your hand tight around that. It's got to be a lot of money, right? Okay. Now, in your right hand, just wait a moment, you'll see. In your right hand, I want you to put in the right hand, add up your real assets, your real property, your financial assets, subtract out any debt, okay? That represents what you own today, your mountains of money, okay? Now, which hand is heavier? Okay, and several funny things happen, okay? I'm going to say, sometimes I'll get the person in Zach will raise their hand if they're seated because I'm the teacher. They asked it, and they've gotten the right answer. They came up with their answer, and they raise their hand. Sometimes I get a real character, and they, oh, this is so heavy, okay? I don't really care. Now, Zach has, I didn't tell him to keep his hands tight. But one day I timed it. I had somebody who white-knuckled me with that left hand for 90 seconds, okay? Was he in touch with the reality of his situation? You know, we learn through body language. Thank you very much, okay? And you can unclench, okay? But what that does is I get a real reading without adding up one list or another list because, again, first time, if people don't want to, Julian didn't say, if you don't get an income tax return, forget them. Forget about it. What he said is you may need to do more to build the trust around a situation before you get the tax return. I have more fact finders than Carter has pills over the years, seeing them at many meetings. I just found until I do the general, I try not to go to the specific because, gee, if I can go up on the board with the general, and if somebody has, you know, weighed things, it's very simple to go to the specific. Okay. Now, let me say, Marilyn has been, yes, Mark.
You've given half of creation, accumulation, conservation, maybe it's coming up, but how do you segue into capital transfer?
At the first, why would we need to have transfer here? Okay, we had back here, let's see, listening. Okay, what I'm trying to do is I'm going to do this till I find some problems, okay? I haven't found a problem yet. Now, transferring capital, down when I get to four, preservation, I draw all sorts of lines. I draw some pictures, a pool of money. I've got a truck that says U.S. on the side of it. That's the government coming after your money. And it says BSP on it. Big sucking pump, okay? That's what's on the side of the truck. That's better than federal estate tax. It kind of grabs attention and has people laughing again, okay? And so, so you get some other pictures that you can use to create specific problems. But a lot of people don't have those problems. And I'll draw pictures depending on the customer, or the client, or the prospect, suspect. Coming through here, this is the general talk to everybody. And if I feel, we get down here and we start talking about family, okay? Because we can begin sketching. Mark, you're married. You got a big smile on your face. You are married?
Yes, I am.
Okay, and you're married to?
Evelyn.
Okay. And you have a family?
8 children, 23 grandchildren, and 3 great-grandchildren so far.
Wow.
There's a man with energy who's applauding you. Okay. And 23, you know. So we got, okay. So you can go automatically into telling me about your family and what, I mean, it's just that simple, okay? So, all right, but I'm ahead of myself. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to say, you know, there are three types of people representing three different types of organizations that I have come to understand in this business that has been called for about 25 years, the financial services profession, okay? There are bankers. There are people who are with security firms, primarily. And there are people in the business that I'm proud to have been raised in culturally, the insurance business, and that focuses on human life values. And so what I'd like to indicate is that you are an individual with a value I'm going to use since we've done this little detour, with value to a lot of people, okay? And perhaps to a lot more, because I don't know what in business, how many people you're associated with, or in property ownership, how many people you may have relations with, and in charity, how many people you write checks out for every year, where you're a key person. And as a main platform member of the round table said, and you live, and people, and whatever. And boy, when he stopped the click, you know, it was everybody understood the heart, whatever. It was just a very effective way of sound being a message about at the end of something. So do you know that we're the only people of those three professions that really deal with the issue of your value and trying to guarantee it, would be the way I'd talk about it, that honor it. We enter certain special types of relationship, I think, that I've come to understand. I don't know whether you have that type of relationship with someone in my business, but by the way, of those three businesses, we're the only ones who can guarantee time to you, okay? And as we look at the equation, when we're talking about money and the return on money, let me ask you, Mark, what's more important to you, the return of your money or the return on your money? And doesn't that vary? When the market's roaring away, it's the return on. And when we get in the dumps on real estate or whatever, it's the return of. And we've had products, some which have been mispriced, and variable annuities or whatever. But again, comparing what we do, what our industry offers, what is produced at our home offices, this is a way of educating people. Now, until I got into those boxes, have I talked about insurance? It's a talk about money, not a talk about insurance. Okay, so again, what we've done with Homer's Laws of Money is to educate people about, from their youth or their found awareness, you know, a bankruptcy will focus attention on what's been missing, on accumulating money, and on a time when they can have a smile and live life without worry, without concern, without a burden. I have used this very successfully, and I think it's been copied in a number of places. So are there any questions about laws of money? Okay. Sure.
When you're asking about the relationship, I'll ask you multiple questions. What causes the need for that? To me, that would say you have an outside influence that's going to come take it. Right?
Okay. Here, what we do is, maybe we get to the point where either I knew or suspected that preservation is where we ought to be, okay? Let me ask you, do you have any concern that you're...
Ken,
how many years do you think you're married? Yes? Okay, Ken, how long will this money last, guaranteed for the lifetime of your wife and yourself?
That's the big question, will it?
Okay, for the man who says, yeah, okay, well then I got to go to preservation, right? Okay, but if I'm set, so because I don't want to show stuff and start talking about capital transfer and federal estate taxes and whatever if it's not appropriate. I'd rather stick with the financial planning deal here about, we're talking about income, right? And getting income in and having things allocated, asset allocated, having confidence, how much guaranteed, how much not guaranteed, where are your alternatives, okay? What alternatives do you see? Who's advising you? What is the advice? Are you comfortable with the advice? How's it working out? Okay, so it isn't, in other words, you know, if Ken said to me at that point again, even though he's doubtful about whether he has enough money or not, so Ken, what you're saying is if you and your wife were in an auto accident tonight, there'd be some extra.
Well,
yes. And so have you made plans for where all that money will go, who will get it, how they'll receive it, what they may do with it? Okay. Have you taken care of all of your concerns in that area?
So if you get a no, then you have to wait to go.
That's right. You've opened up. There was a slide here that was problems, issues, concern. What this is I have found, if you have a first meeting with someone, okay, this is what I do first meeting quite often. Second meeting, I will use an agenda, one piece of paper, and I will have a recapitulation. And it's brief, so I put agenda at the top. And the recapitulation is what I understand they've told me about their thoughts, their situation, based on our first discussion. That's where I will come up with, gee, Ken, as I heard about it, I heard PIC, problems, issues, concerns. And I may put in two or three or four things that I heard that may be a problem, issue, concern. And if, with your permission, I think if we reviewed those today, we'll know whether we're on the same wavelength or not. I will not come in with alternatives, solutions, ideas on that meeting until I know that I've had a situation where let's do these and we've eliminated one, maybe we come up with another, and we prioritize. Okay, so that I now know I've got my working list. And to come up with, if you'd like, I guess what you're saying is we've uncovered these and you've prioritized the order you might address them. And if I get certain information from you specific to certain of these issues, then I can come back with alternatives, solutions, ideas. And that's the way I do it. Now, Ken says to me, or I say to him, I've got action items. I got a timetable. Ken, how rapidly would you like to work on this, on each issue? Action items, there are certain things I'm going to need, and I write them down, and you can get them in what time period? So we've got we're developing a contract, an agreement. It's all here. And finally, if Ken says to me, oh, I want to talk to you about long-term care. I've been talking with friends about it, and do you handle that too? Right? And do you ever, in the middle of something, and you're really making progress, and you get this thing from right field, right? So what do I have? I have other issues, questions, And I heard somebody once call that the parking lot. So I said, that's a great question. I do work in that area. It doesn't really match up with any of your problems, issues, concerns at the moment. I'd be happy to help you with it. Do you mind if we put it in the parking lot today? And we'll get back to it. My promise to you. I've listened. I've recorded what I've heard. I've put it down. I think there's a tremendous amount of comfort. It's one page. How many times do you come back that second time with a whole lot of work? Ideas to show, because we've been taught, I think, at least in my career, to be conceptual salespeople. Now, what am I risking with this approach? I'm risking time. Well, what do you charge? Nothing. Okay? It's difficult to build a long-term relationship. It takes a little bit of time. I'm willing to risk it. If you are, do you have? I will do a little bit of tomorrow. At the Chamber of Commerce cocktail party, when somebody asked me for 44 of the 46 years, what do? I came up with, I sell people insurance. Do you know what that is? How many people know what that is? Maybe a 0.5% wise guy. And because we got a bank in the area called the People's Bank, so. No. So I say, what I've found in my travels is that people have dreams, they have hopes. They make plans, financial plans and all types of plans, okay? And they don't necessarily discover on time that there are four threats of economic loss that can affect them. And so let me share those with you. You may be familiar with them, you may not. Now, I know this audience is. The first of these threats of economic loss is that you can die too soon. And my customers, whether they're 25 or 75, feel any time is too soon. It's a problem. Second threat of economic loss. Larry, second threat of economic loss is living too long. Larry, how can you live too long? And the way I phrase it, if your money dies before you do, it's a problem. Third threat of economic loss. Now, be very careful on this one. You are an insurance audience. Okay. Third threat of economic loss is to suffer a living death. Put yourself in the place of your prospects, suspects, clients. You've just heard me say, suffer a living death. Forget anything a home office has ever told you about the subject, okay? Larry, what does that mean to you, suffer a living death?
About my life in the nursing
home. Okay, that's a good answer for Larry. You're younger, Brian? Brian, what does suffer a living death mean to you? So those are just bills. What's happened to the person in that? There's no living. Okay. Anybody else have something without saying the D word?
Pain.
You know what I've heard? I've heard people say, is that like Christopher Reeve? How long do you have to go fishing? How many people do you have to tell what the D word means? Disability is obviously what I'm avoiding. But when you say disability, what happens to your suspect, prospect? What do they say? Their mind turns off. And the marketing people come back with one in three people will have one longer than 90 days before 65. Gee, that's really great. There are four people in that row. I think one of you ought to be worried. And every one of you will say, it's another person in the row. I don't have to do anything, right? And that's why it's a hard sale. Don't make it a hard sale. Ask them what they think it is. They haven't had our training. They're still uninitiated. And so you get answers like Larry and my short-term memory's going. Brian, okay, have given back to me. And so what I say after they've said it, I said, yeah, kind of, Larry. Larry, let me ask you, are you healthy?
Yeah.
You're working?
Yeah.
You got an income? What happens if you're not healthy, not working, don't have an income? You know, I didn't set that up. That's what happens. It's called patterning. What did I say about the first law? 25, 75, most of my people feel it's a problem. Second law, or second threat. Living or dying, living too long. If your money dies before you do, it's a problem. And most people will say it's a problem when you get down to the third one. Kevin, whatever you told me, it's... So, are you healthy? You're working? You have an income? What happens if you're not healthy, not working, don't have an income? And you keep quiet till they say that. Okay? So, again, it's listening. And that will happen. Because, you know, it's the most natural response. We're in a conversation. We're using the same language. People understand. Fourth threat of economic loss is catastrophic health expenses. Who's going to pay the doctor in the hospital? Who's going to pay the nurse and the pharmacist? Who's going to pay the therapist, whatever? And you know what people say at that moment? No problem, I got group insurance, okay? No one has said, no problem, I have national health insurance. Nobody said that yet. Okay. That's the, yeah. Now, the reason I brought that forward to you is because at that point, I will say, do you have a people insurance advisor? Do you have a people insurance advisor? Oh, I got somebody I did the life insurance with. No. Well, I'd like to apply to be your people insurance advisor. To be, in effect, talking about your values, okay, with you, helping you protect it, and doing all the things that are done by someone in my capacity. So, again, that's the elevator talk I'll talk about tomorrow, but maybe we'll go into it in a different way and talk about the D word a little differently. But do you have any questions? I've got a little bit more, but any other questions? Okay. Do you think this is something that you might use?
Yes.
Modify into your own way of doing things? Okay. My contact information is out, is in the book. You can say, I've done this, that, or the other thing, and it didn't work. Tell me again what's going on. I have no book, whatever. I'm happy to share. And if you come up with ideas. Now, I do use a turtle in a lot of this, a slow, dumb creature. But the tie I'm wearing has Chinese symbols on it. And when I spoke in Hong Kong, I was told that the turtle. It's good. And I said, why is it good? Shell of protection, long life. We all like a long life. Second, prosperity. Prosperity means income in excess of expenses. That's good, isn't it? Wealth, assets greater than liabilities. That's good. Now, they comment, this goes back to Hong Kong, 1991. Only one thing. Okay, here it comes. Here's the criticism, as they heard this stuff that I've been using for years. No say die. No say die. I was devastated. I had, you know, was up there for 45 minutes and translated for 22. So I had 22 minutes I'd given that. No say die. I said, I am so sorry. No problem. Only old Chinese, as it was explained to me, are superstitious. Young Chinese, no problem. And I said, okay, well, I'm happy for that. But again, good images, and sometimes we are not culturally sensitive. So be ready to read the body language, listen to the comments, and I think you'll get farther ahead. Let's just see what if we have any. Oh, following up a good impression. I see somebody on October 4th. On October 11th, I ought to get some communication back to them, right? Just even it's a thank you, it's something, I'm following it up, I'm doing this, we're having another appointment. Okay, so we did capital creation, capital accumulation. capital conservation, capital preservation. What do? Great little deal. We package money for delivery at a future date. Isn't that what we do? Oh, I gave all my bills away. I gave my package away, right? And so what do we say? How many dollars do you need? When do you need them? How's that for subtlety? Okay, isn't that the basis for everything we do? Retirement. We got a problem over here, Ken? We got a problem here? How many dollars do you need to supplement? When do you need them? Okay? That's true of every one of these things. It's just simple couple questions. We package money. That's why I show those. I flip them. You know, how many we got here? We got $50,000. How many packets do you need of these? Okay, stack them up. Make it tangible.
It's not necessarily on the pocket, but when we observed the last 10 years, I guess we're getting, I'm questioning about capital preservation, how you're dealing with it now. In other words, I talk to people, I'm a mortgage guy, not an insurance guy, but I saw people spending very liberally because first their 401k was earning more than they earned in salary, or then their house went up in value more than their salary. And I've seen some of my customers now worry, now they retire. I mean, even a next door neighbor's surgeon.
Have you thought about going back to work? I mean, I'm having that conversation with people. If they're looking at money, and people are thinking of retiring, are you sure that you can afford? Another catch thing that you may like. And maybe I'll do it tomorrow too. A picture of a house. Draw a house. Okay. So I draw a house, and I say, okay. Ken, does your house have a picket fence going in front of it? So Ken says no. Well, it looks nice anyway. I mean, because you can have fun. You can be crazy with people, okay? So we got a house. Let me ask you, because we're getting questions about the mortgage. Is that house the house you're going to take into the retirement years with you?
Yes.
It is. Okay. How many people here are in a house that they're taking into retirement with them? Quite a few. In my area, most of the people I ask that question to say, no, we'll downsize. Okay? Now, that's interesting to me, because unless we are immobile, I don't think Mary Lou and I are going to downsize. So what I do in terms of their retirement plan, I say, you'll need 70% of it, 60% of it, 50% of it for the next house you'll buy when you're getting ready? Okay, so this is residence, and this is retirement plan. Fascinating, okay? Because now we're talking about allocation, aren't we? Okay, we got this amount of house, depending on the debt on it, and we're going to put that in the retirement plan. When you ask people questions this way with a visual, they begin thinking about things in an entirely different way. Okay, so that's, you just kicked my mind into sharing that. I haven't seen that in a meeting yet. But there may be other assets they're going to do the same thing with. They're going to downsize. Or if you're talking to them about retirement, I have found a doctor who has extended. He's one of my best friends. He's extended a year or two because of working, because the opportunities were there, and that has protected the capital at a time. It extends it farther out. So again, I don't have the answers. I think what I'm suggesting is you need a tool.